Welcome, everybody. It's Michael Scott of HoopsHype.com's NBA writer, host of the Hoops Hype podcast, alongside our Hoops Hype salary cap expert, Yossi Goslin. Welcome to a special post-NBA trade deadline edition of the Hoops Hype podcast on the Locker Room app. We're thrilled to be doing our first room on the app and have a chance to interact with you, the listeners. And we got a lot to get to today, Yossi. Certainly a bunch of trades that went down. Some, I think, that may have shaped the way the conferences are going to end up at the end of the year. First one for me, when the Bulls got Nikola Vucevic, I thought that was a huge move for them. I know they had a part with Wendell Carter and two first-round picks, but to get a two-time All-Star in Vooch, and you know, you're giving up Wendell Carter, a guy that was injured, to me, I thought that that was a really good move for the Bulls, you know, with Zach LaVine getting ready in the near future to come up on free agency. It's been important for him internally to be a part of a winning organization. And so far this year, Billy Donovan and those guys have done a great job to this point. I think personally a little bit over exceeding expectations. And now when you had a guy like Vucevic, it should hasten that rebuilding process for them and get them closer towards the playoffs where they want to go. Would you think of the move?
With this trade, so it's not just the Vucevic trade, but like they got pretty aggressive retooling the rest of the roster, making it a lot deeper. The Vucevic trade, I thought it was a little aggressive because I'm not, you know, yeah, now they're definitely a playoff team. And they also got other good guys like Troy Brown and Daniel Tice and maybe Javonte Graham. I'm not sure if he's healthy right now, but you know, maybe Aminu can even give him a little something. So they're definitely looking like they should make the playoffs, probably exceed the play-in. As far as like what this make them a contender in the near future, I'm not too sure. Trading when, you know, they traded in a way, it's kind of like they traded three first round picks because Wendell, he can be, I think he's going to be really good one day. I know he struggled this year. He hasn't really been the same since that really bad ankle injury last year. And it just seems like this is basically the new Bulls front office, their first big move. And they've been very patient since they took over, and they went just for the first real big move that they've done. This was really like blazing. They just went out and got Vucevic. Now, I think they paid a lot, but that is what they had to pay to get a guy like Vucevic right now, who's an all-star, truly in his prime probably, and still has two more years left on a declining deal. It is an overpay, and obviously the Bulls are going to be really good for the next 2-3 years behind him and LaVine. I don't know if they're going to be able to put the rest of the team together, if they're going to be able to turn it into a contender yet. We'll have to see what happens. We've got to see what happens with Kobe White, Patrick Williams, if they keep Lauri Markkanen. But do you think Zach LaVine and Vucevic can be maybe it could lead the Bulls to a Eastern Conference Finals one of these years?
I think they certainly would need help, especially in the East right now with the way the Nets are stacked. Philadelphia has got a young core. But at the same time, you can't be always in a perpetual rebuild. So for me, with the way that the Bulls went out and got Vucevic, I thought it was a step in the right direction for them. And, you know, you talked about Lauri Markkanen. Lauri and his camp were far apart on extension talks with Chicago during the earlier part of the season when they had the time frame where they could assign them. But, you know, I thought he's had a solid season thus far, but, you know, it's ironic, you know, when Vucevic was a guy that was being talked about to the Bulls, you know, some people were wondering if Lauri Markkanen could be a part of that deal instead of Wendell Carter. And so, you know, I think it speaks to going to be an interesting forecast for his restricted free agency this summer, because I do think there are some teams out there that like him and probably value him more than Chicago does right now. So, you know, and the other guy you touched on, Kobe White, We're going to find out if he's a real full-time starting point guard. You saw the talks about Lonzo Ball. Obviously, they didn't get him at this deadline. But again, a lot of these talks at the deadline set up what's to come in free agency and restricted free agency and who has interest. Usually you circle back to a lot of these things. So I look at that as some moves to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah. Going forward, the Bulls, they could re-sign Markkanen if they want to continue with him. They could also decide maybe to have cap space this summer still. Not too much. They could get something a little over 20 mil. But that would require them letting Markkanen go, and they'd have to cut or trade Thaddeus Young and Thomas Satoransky. So that is one option they could do. Most likely, I would say that they'll keep Young and Satoransky. Maybe they re-sign Laurie, or maybe they could sign and trade him. I'm sure there's plenty of teams interested. I'm pretty optimistic that they'll be able to really improve the roster. Just not sure if they're going to be like a true contender, but they should. You're right. You don't want to be in the perpetual rebuild. So this is, they'll be very good. You know, will they be a conference finals team? I don't know, but they will be very good. That's for sure.
The biggest thing is they improved dramatically to me, and I think that's the step in the right direction that they needed. And, you know, for Orlando, obviously was a clear fire sale this trade deadline. And, you know, the other guy that they moved, the next guy that we're going to talk about, Aaron Gordon, you know, his name had been out there for a couple of years. So, you know, it's interesting to me to see that. How, you know, for he just seemed to me that he always got linked to the Brooklyn Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie back in the day. But, you know, they ultimately trade him to the Denver Nuggets for Gary Harris. RJ Hampton, a young guy that we had on the podcast, I think has a bright future in the league and is going to get a chance to shine in Orlando with Markel Fultz at that guard position. And then, you know, first round pick as well. You know, in talking with you privately, I know you kind of had a nice comparison for Aaron Gordon and the kind of role that he could fill for the Denver Nuggets. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, so I was hoping the Nuggets would also try to get Evan Fournier. But, you know, I think Aaron Gordon was absolutely necessary. They needed him. They clearly missed Jeremy Grant, and Aaron Gordon in many ways does a lot of the things Jeremy Grant does, maybe even better. The good thing about Aaron Gordon is he's going to be like the third or the fourth option, I'm guessing, maybe even the fifth option at times on offense. And in Orlando, they haven't, you know, they never really had that much talent. So he would often be maybe the first or second guy, first or second option. So that put a lot on him, and I think this is going to be great. Now he gets to be on a really good team, and he could really focus on his strengths and not have too much pressure on offense. I guess it's the best way to look at it. Denver, they, you know, essentially got Jeremy Grant back, more or less, depending if you think he's better or worse. And as for Orlando, we haven't really touched on them. For all their trades, I really like what they got for Vucevic and Aaron Gordon. Two first-round picks and Wendell Carter. That's an absolute haul. They also got off of Al-Farouq Aminu, who's got the player option for next year. And as you mentioned, RJ Hampton. I don't know too much about his game, but I just remember that he's been really hyped since last year. I think maybe before, like a year before the draft, he was going to be, they were talking about him being like one of the top guys, and then he went to Australia, and I'm not too sure. I don't really follow the draft that closely.
RJ's a guy that has really good athleticism. He's fast. I think he's a guy, you know, you've seen him on a couple of highlight poster dunks so far this year. I just think with time, he's going to get stronger and have a chance to really thrive in the league. It's a point guards league, and when he's a lead guard and he's pushing the ball in transition, you know, he can make some things happen. So I think from that standpoint, it's a good look for them. You know, I will say this, you know, when it came to Aaron Gordon, you know, I had written about this earlier in the day on Hoops Hype and I had tweeted it out. But, you know, there was a point where some people thought the Boston Celtics were going to be the front runners for Aaron Gordon, and, you know, Boston then had, as part of the package, made Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford, one of those two guys, available as part of the package. And so at that point, you know, it was something to me that I thought if Boston really wanted him, they could have given up picks and made it happen. But, mm-hmm. you know, he goes to Denver. I think Denver, I'll say this, if Boston got Aaron Gordon, I don't know if that was going to move the needle that much for them. But I think for Denver, to your point, it does. You know, you also heard the Minnesota Timberwolves involved. And, you know, one of the guys on Orlando that for Orlando, they really liked Jaden McDaniels on the Timberwolves, but Minnesota wasn't willing to put him in there. And then with Houston also being mentioned, you know, you got the sense from talking to people around the league that Aaron Gordon did not necessarily either want to be there long term, or they weren't willing to commit the extension dollars that he was looking for. So in going to Denver, I think it's a really good fit, like you touched on, for his skill set. And I think it gives them a chance to really try to compete in the West. And they also made an underrated move, in my opinion, getting JaVale McGee and bringing him back. The Shaq and a Fool legend. I think JaVale going back there to back up Jokic is really going to solidify that front court. And I think the cost for, you know, the second round picks that they gave up, not terrible. I think you would expect it at this point. You also kept him away from another team like the Portland Trail Blazers, who were looking at him as well. So, you know, sometimes in this arms race in the league, that's as much what it's about as anything.
All right. Yeah. So with the Nuggets, I really like that they got JaVale. They signed a lot of big men this summer. They got, they brought back Millsap. They, Hardenstein, who they just traded for Mickey. They drafted Naji. They brought back Bol Bol. And, you know, I guess it doesn't seem like any of them really solidified the backup center role. But now with McGee, he's got that. And they're still pretty – and we'll see. And now you've got Aaron Gordon and Millsap off the bench. Hopefully they solidify their backup bigs. They should definitely be ready for some of the bigger teams.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the West, you know, eventually you're trying to go up against the Lakers with Anthony Davis and those guys. So that's where the road to the title is going through, most people think. So you have to kind of get ready to go up against those guys. And other than that, you also have another notable name making a move, Victor Oladipo going to the Heat. And, you know, obviously everybody thought Victor Oladipo wanted to eventually land with the Miami Heat, and, you know, he got his wish. I think the bigger thing around the league was, if you're looking at this from when they first did the James Harden trade, the Houston Rockets clearly would have been better off keeping Caris LeVert, not only for this season, but long term, to see if they could have not only gotten better trade value for him than Oladipo after what happened now, but even just as a player for the future. I was a little surprised when they let him go. So, and moved him to Indiana. I mean, when you were looking at that trade and you saw it was Bradley and Olynyk and a 2022 pick swap, what was going through your mind?
Because I mean, I was before, like yesterday, I was thinking, okay, where is Oladipo going to go if anyone still wants him? And I was thinking, okay, let's say Miami just decides to get him ahead of time before free agency and take a shot on him. Maybe at this point they could do something like a Chua and Nunn, I was thinking. Maybe that would be something kind of generous. I guess that was too generous because all they gave up were expiring contracts and a pick swap in 2022. And I don't know. Who knows what that means even. So I really like what the Rockets front office has done so far. And I like that they got all those picks for Harden. I like the Westbrook trade. I like basically a lot of the things they've done. And it's just unfortunate because it feels like this is what they're going to be remembered for. At least like I get it. Like they could have had Jared Allen. They got a pick. They could have had Caris LeVert. Now I don't, they got nothing for it. So it's unfortunate they'll probably be remembered for that. But at the same time, I think they've done a lot more good.
Well, I mean, my whole thing, it was just so funny how, like, no matter what executive you talk to around the league, you know, obviously, like, post trade deadline, I'd say maybe around once the dust settled a little bit more towards like the 3:30 mark. You know, if you're going back and forth with some of these execs, who would shoot them a text like, hey, what'd you think? Who stuck out to you? And the first one was always, man, why didn't the Rockets just keep Caris LeVert? And I was thinking the same thing. So,
For the Heat, they basically get like, it's like they did their free agency today. They trade for Oladipo. They also got Nemanja Bjelica. And they have a pretty deep roster, I would say, for the playoffs. But now they get to try Oladipo out early. And then, you know, assuming Oladipo and Bjelica play well and everyone's happy, they want to return. Then they don't need to have cap space. They'll just re-sign those guys. And one advantage of that is that then you can use the full mid-level instead of the room mid-level, which is 0.5%. If you can operate over the cap, I think that's a lot better, especially for this coming off season where there might not be, I don't know who's really, a lot of the names have gone down over the past months since all these players have been getting extensions. Maybe they could still, if things don't work out with Oladipo, maybe they could go after Lowry still. There's still some interest there. But it's nice that it's kind of like an insurance plan. They get to see Oladipo now. And then they could go from there.
Yeah. And you know, it seemed like the West, just all these teams tried to load up as best they can. Another big move we saw from the Portland Trail Blazers getting Norman Powell for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. I'm going to get your thoughts on it. I'm curious what you thought from not only a salary cap perspective, but just Powell's fit with the Blazers.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I love it.
I love it for Portland. I think I'm the only guy who loves it. And I feel like Portland's not getting enough credit, or I mean, maybe not credit, but like enough love for it. Cause I think Norman Powell's really, really good. And I could see him, you know, maybe they'll bring him off the bench. I could see him closing with them. I think he'll bring I think he makes Portland a lot better. And for Portland, it kind of goes down to this. Who would you rather pay, Gary Trent or Norman Powell? And, you know, I don't think there's really a wrong answer there, but I think Norman Powell's a little better. And I guess even though you're going to pay Powell more, I think I'd rather have him. And for Toronto, it is a good deal for them too, because – So they don't want to pay Powell. That's why they traded him. They're going to have to pay Trent if they're going to keep him. But the interesting about him is that he's got that very low cap hold because he's on a minimum contract. So what they could do is they're going to have a bunch of cap space. It's like 20 to 25 mil. They could spend all that, then go over to re-sign Gary Trent. So that's the main value. So it's like kind of a helping them with their cap space, but also getting a replacement for Powell.
To me, the biggest thing, I think that on paper right now, is Norman Powell better than Gary Trent? Yeah. But what surprised me was people I don't think realize is Gary Trent is only 22 years old. So to me, you know, he's been a guy that, first of all, if I was thinking of this from like a fantasy basketball perspective, I think Gary Trent is going to explode in Toronto with more shots and more opportunities.
Yep.
You know, he's playing pretty well. He's averaging 15 a game in Portland so far. He's having a real breakout year. He's shooting 40%, last 2 years from three. The guy can fill it up from deep. You know, Norman Powell, I think, is a guy that he took a leap last year, and he's furthered that leap this year, shown more consistency, improved his 3-point percentage to 44%. I think for Portland, he's more of a guy that I think they feel can be that kind of, I was going to say even play like a little bit of small ball three, but I don't even know if it's as much that. They play three guard lineups anyway with Lillard and CJ McCollum, but just to me, looking at that for now, Norm, yeah, on paper, he's better. But if I'm Toronto, I love what they did because Gary Trent is 22 and he fits that young core further. And I think for Portland, if you were worried about paying Trent, you have to pay Powell more.
Yep.
And I do think he's an upgrade, but I just don't know how exponentially much at this point.
Yeah, it's not a major significant upgrade. But I think it's still enough to, especially given that they mainly just have to give up Gary Trent. I really like the price. I like the price a lot.
And I mean, now you look at another guard that switched teams, Evan Fournier going to the Celtics. Now, this wasn't the huge splash that Boston Celtics fans were probably hoping for. You know, you had heard Harrison Barnes, Aaron Gordon as a forward that maybe Boston could get. But, you know, Fournier for 2 second-round picks, not terrible. I just, again, I don't necessarily think it moves the needle for them that much. You know, with Kemba Walker and Tatum and Brown, yeah, he's your fourth option. That's not bad at all on a good team. I just, when I look at the East, I still think that, you know, when it comes to the Nets, the Sixers, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, those are the teams that I look at as the front runners. And I think Boston improved, but marginally, in my opinion.
I'm not too sure if they really, how much they improved. They also they traded Daniel Tice. I think we briefly went over it earlier. So hopefully one of their other centers are ready to take up those minutes. But yeah, Evan Fournier, he's definitely going to be sort of he'll be a combo guard off the bench for them. Can't say he'll close. If you're going to go with Kemba, Smart, Tatum, and Jalen, I don't think you want to throw Fournier in there. So given the price, they gave 2 second-round picks. Okay, that's good. That's definitely a lot less than I thought the Magic would get for him. And the other thing, though, is it looks like he's going to be a rental. They're already going to be pretty close to the tax next year with Tatum's extension about to kick in. So for 2 second-round picks, I think they're just trying to get somebody that can help them this year. We'll see how it goes. But overall, I like Fournier a lot. I would have liked him a lot more on a team like Denver. Not too sure he threads the needle for Boston that much.
You think JJ Redick moves the needle for Dallas at this point? He was another guy that we saw get moved today. I think a lot of people assumed that he would eventually hit the buyout market and go to the Brooklyn Nets, but at this point, that certainly doesn't seem likely. So, you know, JJ is definitely going to help Luka and Porzingis. Again, I just don't see how it really moves the needle for them against the elite teams in the Western Conference, but nonetheless, good mood.
It just seems like, you know, it was a very, like, it was probably the most insignificant trade, this Redick-James Johnson one. All these players were, like, either out of the rotation or borderline out of it. And I think they just kind of, they just kind of decided. Did New Orleans get any second-round picks? I think they got one. So, the Pelicans, they got a pick for doing this. And for Dallas, they already have a lot of guards and scores off the bench. They just get another one. But at the same time, they weren't really playing James Johnson. They already had Powell, Kleber, Colley Stein, Porzingis, Marjanovic if they need another guy. So it just, there's not too much to say on this trade. I don't know how much Redick's going to play. Just looking at their depth, it's really hard to see how he's going to play unless there's an injury.
You know, let's be honest. The real prize here was Nicolò Melli. I think we all
know.
my paisan, one of the few Italians in the NBA. But
they got him in there too.
We appreciate it. He could shoot, be a little pick and pop guy for them if they give him a chance. But I'll say this. If there was another guard that got traded that I thought would have a bigger impact in the Western Conference. I think Rajon Rondo going to the Los Angeles Clippers is what they need. He's going to be reinvigorated by being on a team. First of all, being back in LA, across the locker room in Staples Center with the Clippers. But also, again, we know that Rondo is the best guy that he plays at his best when it's finals time. And that's what the Clippers want to do. They want to get to that level. So for me, I like the move in getting them in getting him rather. Excuse me.
I don't like the price. Not so much Lou Williams. They traded 2 second round picks for him, and you know to bet that what Rondo did in the finals in the playoffs is gonna to pay for that and bet that that's gonna come back. Not too sure I like the move that much. But you know. We'll see. It's possible he repeats what he does in the playoffs. At the same time, it seems like the Clippers couldn't get some other targets. They were trying to get George Hill. He obviously went to Philadelphia, but I believe similar price. Or I don't know. Maybe they just really like playoff Rondo. They really believe that it's going to happen again. And Lou Williams, that's just another, you know, he'll definitely help Atlanta. Rondo wasn't really playing that much. We're still waiting on Chris Dunn. So we'll see. Maybe Lou will fit a lot better in Atlanta.
Well, we know he's certainly going to love the wings in the ATL.
oh, my God. That's right.
I mean, with Lou Will, I will say, and talking to a source close to him, you know, there is some excitement about going to Atlanta and in that area. And I think that, you know, for the Hawks, it didn't work out with Rondo. You know, you get a guy now in Lou Will that can obviously score off the bench. And, you know, when it comes to the Clippers, for me, just those guys are in kind of, I don't know if I want to say championship or bust mode, but they obviously have a lot of pressure to keep Kawhi Leonard. So, that's why I think you got to do everything you can to get elite playmakers and proven guys in the playoffs like Rajon Rondo to give them that best chance. It's almost like, you know, what are you going to do at that point? And, you know, in the East, you saw the Philadelphia 76ers look for point guard help. And, you know, having a tone setter that's proven in the playoffs and a guy that can make plays was – important to the Philadelphia 76ers. So they went out and they made a substantial move, in my opinion, to get George Hill. I know it's not the sexy name compared to Kyle Lowry, but I think it was cost efficient for them. And, you know, I know Tony Bradley, they gave up and some other picks, but for Tony Bradley, you know, when Joel Embiid is healthy, when Dwight Howard is healthy, he's not playing much. And it just seemed to me that George Hill, one, he can shoot the ball, which Daryl Morey is trying emphatically to put around Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and he's a pretty good defender as well. So I like it, you know, for this season for sure, as they're trying to compete in the East, especially when they got to go up against the teams like the Brooklyn Nets and George Hill's former team, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, for Philly, they just had all these expiring contracts, all the ones that they traded today. They were Ferguson, Poirier, they weren't really playing. Bradley was playing a good amount, but maybe was they didn't really need him that much with when they had Dwight Howard. They could find another guy, but they turned all those guys into George Hill. You got all these expensive money, not contributing on the floor, turn into a guy like George Hill that can play – maybe even sometimes close for them.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of it for sure. When you look at what the Sixers can be going forward, but as you and I both know, just because the trade deadline is done, by no means are the transactions done. Soon we're going to hit the buyout market now, and you're going to see several guys out there. You know, the Andre Drummonds of the world, LaMarcus Aldridge. Well, let's start with those bigs first. You know, with Andre, you hear about the Lakers because they have a needed center that he could play, but they don't have a ton of money, obviously. The Brooklyn Nets are assembling the Avengers, and, you know, they want to get anyone and everyone that is the best player in the world. That team is stacked. They're only adding to it at this point. And, you know, you got other teams, you know, Dallas had been mentioned, the Clippers. But the one team that you hear mentioned that has a real competitive advantage, in my opinion, is the New York Knicks, because they have the cap space and they could offer him a lot more money than anybody else. And they can offer him a deal long term if they really want to give it a shot and they believe in him. So I think that's the wild card here for me. Because if you want to go to a contender, it's pretty simple. But Drummond's young enough where he should still want to be getting paid. He's putting up good stats, and he can always chase a ring to me down the line. So that's the way I evaluate his situation currently. I mean, what do you think so far when you're looking at Drummond?
Yeah, just from a financial perspective, a trade would have made a lot of sense. They could have sent him somewhere. He still have his bird rights. He could resign with his new team, but he just made way too much money for a lot of teams to put together a package that made sense.
Not one team that you wanted. You know, we heard the story about Worldwide West banging the table for Emmanuel Quickly, but you were banging the table for Andre Drummond to go to the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, yeah.
When we would do some earlier podcasts and just in our own conversations, you were banging the table, and I agreed with you, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, they needed a center. They're looking for another center, and they didn't end up with one. I just came up with a way that they had some cap space. They could have gone and traded for another guy and aggregated him with some of their other expiring contracts. They could have gotten it. They could have done something like that to get Drummond. I think the whole buyout thing with Drummond, his benching, I feel like a lot of it has made a perception on him be like, okay, maybe he's not that good. Maybe he was never really good to begin with. He's still a really good center. The only reason he didn't get traded is because it was hard for teams to put together the salaries to make a trade that makes sense without giving up too much. Now you're talking about the Knicks. Yeah, if he's 27, I think he's got it sounds like they're also interested in him. If they're going to actually offer him a contract right now, they can offer him up to 4 years, and they've got about 13 and a half in cap space. So they could give him for this season up to that much right now if they wanted. You're 27, you're still in your prime. I think you gotta, if that's offered, I think you gotta consider that. I know that if you go to the Lakers or the Nets, you're gonna have a chance to compete for a title, but that just, you know, that's, you gotta also think about that.
You know, it was funny when you were saying about Charlotte needing a center. They've needed a center since they lost Al Jefferson, in my opinion. I know they had Dwight the 1 year, but that was brutal for a lot of different reasons.
Well, yeah, he was putting up numbers, but it's not a good year.
Yeah, that team wasn't successful. I just think, you know, when it comes to Drummond, it shows you the value of centers around the league right now, and it's deflated a little bit. But you know, that said, there's another big on the market rumored to go to the Miami Heat, most likely. He previously had a free agent meeting with Pat Riley, even though he wasn't expected to go there way back when, before he went to the San Antonio Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge. And, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge certainly helps the Miami Heat, and I think he could start for them and play somewhere in the 20s. You know, maybe the late 20s in terms of minutes and still be productive for them. But, you know, without getting, I mean, I know like with Oladipo, they made a move, but I don't know if having Oladipo and Aldridge puts the Miami Heat back on course to reach the NBA Finals as much as they maybe think they are.
What about Ariza and Bielitsa?
You know, Ariza to me,
it's fine, adds to the bench. You know, Trevor Ariza somehow, some way, is like the human merry-go-round. You know, he's been traded so many times in his career, but hey, he still can shoot the three ball and he's a pro. He knows the game's got a good IQ. Bielitsa is a stretch four, I think, is good for them. You know, so, it just seems like they have a lot of nice parts, but they don't have, other than, you know, Bam and Jimmy, an elite star. You know, Oladipo is going to be the X factor for them, and that worries me a little bit, because I don't think, and in, you know, in talking with people, whether it was from Indiana or, you know, around the league that had ties to Victor, they're uncertain if he's going to be the all-star player that he was before he got hurt with Indiana again.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said earlier, it makes sense that he got him now. They could just test run him, and if things don't work out, then they could do their cap space. But no, you mentioned the Heat. They have a bunch of guys right now. They're like 11 deep with real good rotation players. And especially the backcourt, they've got Dragic, Oladipo, Hero, Robinson, and Nunn. That's a lot. I feel like someone's going to get squeezed out there. It just seems like there's way too much talent. And then you got Butler, Iguodala, Ariza, Bielitsa, Bam, and Aldridge. I'm not saying that they're just going to make them put them back in the conference finals or anything. I don't think this puts them over Brooklyn, but I'm just saying they do have a lot of talent. It's like, for us, in terms of like rotational players, they might have one of the deepest teams.
I certainly think their strength is in numbers. I definitely would agree with you on that. To me, I've just, the way the NBA has trended the past few years, stars win. And, you know, again, I look at the Brooklyn Nets with the three-headed trio, the big three that hasn't even played that much this year, and they're really good. I know some people might be like, I'll take them a little time to get adjusted. Great players make the game easy. They just figure it out at some point. You know, you got to look at my man Mike D'Antoni sometimes, just sitting on the bench, chilling. It's like he might as well be having some gelato in Little Italy. He's loving life, working with Nash and those guys. And because they have, you know, when you're a coach, you're as good as the players you have. And, you know, it's a lot easier to coach guys like Durant, Harden, and Kyrie than it would be, say, the Houston Rockets right now. You know, and you know, my guy Steven Silas, who's, you know, gone through such a tough year. But that said, you know, it's interesting, too. We talk about the Nets. I was going to say, you know, people had linked them, too, to Otto Porter. It's like, all right, we get it. You know, if Sean Marks signed you to an offer sheet or tried to,
he's going to try to get you again.
They're going
to
get linked. We saw with Alan Crabb, it happened. Tyler Johnson. I just don't know if Otto Porter would be that guy.
Like specifically for the Nets or to get a buyout in general?
I mean, for the Nets, I could see him as a guy that got a buyout. It wouldn't surprise me, but time will tell.
Yeah, with the Nets, they still have the financial advantage with the DPE, and they still have some of their MLE left. I mean, I don't know how much that's going to be a factor for a lot of these buyout guys, because like Blake Griffin already took the minimum, and I'm not sure what Aldridge is going to take. He already maybe he'll get like the Miami could give him the biannual, but with Otto Porter, also kind of like Drummond in terms of where he is in his career, age wise. Pretty young for guys like them to get buyouts this early. And so, you know, maybe he wants to stick in Orlando for a bit, finish out the season. He's still got the bird rights. Maybe Orlando could use him in a sign and trade. Or, you know, you got until April 9th to waive someone in order to for that player to maintain his playoff eligibility. So he's got some time, and maybe towards the end he could decide, you know what, this isn't working now, let me go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's a guy that, you know, could be on the buyout market. We'll see. Another guy that could be on the buyout market at some point. You know, you had touched on this on hoopshype.com recently, and I certainly agree with him as a potential guy. Avery Bradley, after being a part of the Victor Oladipo trade, going to the Houston Rockets, a guy that originally signed in Miami to try to compete in the NBA playoffs. That's not happening in Houston. You know, there are obviously some teams that value a guy like Bradley. As I had touched on hoopshype.com and some stories, the Brooklyn Nets were among the teams that liked Avery Bradley in free agency, but they didn't have enough money at the time. Avery, 3-and-D kind of guy at the guard position, and has ties to Kevin Durant and Royal Ivy. And anytime you have ties to Kevin Durant, it factors in heavily when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. You know, we joke about Kevin Durant making his team for the NBA All-Star game, but certainly, you know, when it comes to the Nets, it's you know, always they take the input of their players as part of background when they're looking to sign anybody. So certainly I'm sure Kevin Durant has had a decent amount of input in those decisions that they've made. So we'll see what happens with Avery, you know.
Interesting. You should like, no, you brought up the Nets, like a good amount for Bradley. I saw on Twitter, I think they've already been linked to the Lakers and the Nuggets. Out of those three teams, is there anyone you think has an advantage?
Well, I would say also too, I think you could look at the Golden State Warriors as another team possibly, because they've had interest in him in the past. And I'd have to think of other teams, you know, looking at the league overall. But
yeah,
give me the teams one more time.
I saw he was linked to the Lakers and Nuggets earlier. As soon as he got traded to Houston, he was already getting linked there.
So Lakers, Nuggets, Warriors, Nets. Well, I mean, the first thing I would say to the listeners is, on your Twitter header, you have all the exceptions, the biannual, the mid-level, all that. The first thing you got to look at is financially who has the best chances of getting him. From a relationship standpoint, certainly he's got ties to the Lakers, but, you know, he wasn't brought back. So with that said, I think, you know, I've always thought he could be a good fit for Brooklyn. And, yeah, you know, when they had done the Spencer Dinwiddie talks with Miami, that was one of the pieces that was potentially going to go back to Brooklyn if it happened. And mm-hmm. So, you know, it just seems like they've had a nice little flirtation for about a year.
Yeah, I was a little surprised actually Dinwiddie didn't get traded at all. There was so much news I kind of forgot until it was reported that he specifically wouldn't get traded.
My mentions blew up. My mentions, because, you know, I think a lot of Nets fans, and you know what, it was interesting. You've got some Nets fans going like, well, now you better resign him. Oh, and others, you know, being like, oh, I'm so glad he's still here. Maybe he can come back for the playoffs. And, you know, I love like all the rapid reactions. But for me, you know, I think the biggest thing with the Nets is, even though nothing necessarily worked on the trade market for them now, there's the potential that they could do a sign and trade with him in the offseason and work with his agent, Jason Glushon. You know, obviously they would all have to be on the same page, but we've seen it happen before with D'Angelo Russell. So who's to say it couldn't happen again, possibly?
Yeah, and they don't need to get anything like too good. You know, like a lot of times you could get a trade exception. That's more than enough. Maybe you get a decent pick. That's enough in a sign and trade. You know, at the same time, they'll probably want to get some more rotational players heading into next year. We don't know who's going to come back outside the big three and Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan, obviously. So there, the sign and trade option is definitely going to be there. I think Dinwiddie's is a prime candidate for that.
It's just going to be tough. No, listen, Joe Tsai has certainly opened up the wallet for the luxury tax for this team. He did it with Joe Harris to keep him, and obviously all the other moves that they made in getting James Harden, looking at the future luxury tax bill, it's not going to be cheap. So at that point, you know, the realistic chances of keeping a guy like Dinwiddie, who at best would be on this team a fourth option, and as you know, some nights Joe Harris is going to get plenty of shots, that could relegate Spence to a fifth option depending on the game flow. It's kind of tough to justify it, but I think Spencer's a smart guy. He knows that, and I think he is going to do well one way or the other wherever he lands.
I wanted to talk about one other player who didn't get traded while we're on that subject. I guess, you know, now we almost forgot also because he didn't get traded. When we saw that he didn't get traded, my first reaction was, okay, I mean, this has happened quite a bit for the Raptors now. Kawhi Leonard left them, they didn't get anything back. Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka left them, they didn't get anything back. They got something for Norman Powell. And I'm just, you know, my thinking is, they seem like they were ready to part ways with him. And, you know, if they want to use their cap space this summer, it wouldn't involve Lowry. Like, yeah, they could bring him back, but it wouldn't be able to sign him to anything more than like the mid-level if they want to really use all that cap space. And then I saw what Houston did, you know, like it seemed like they were trying to get something for Oladipo, and they got we mentioned earlier in this podcast, they got a lot of heat for doing that, for taking Oladipo in the first place. And so it made me thinking, like, I don't know what they were going to get for Lowry, but based on what the Rockets sold for Oladipo, do you still think the Raptors were right to hold on to Lowry if they weren't going to get anything, or should they have sold low no matter what it was?
You know, I always thought Toronto was trying to leverage Philly and Miami. You know, I know the Lakers were reported as seriously being interested, but to me, I just thought it was like a leverage play to get Miami to put Tyler Herro in and for Philadelphia to put in Matisse Thybulle. Matisse Thybulle, I'd written about it on Hoopsite. That was a guy that Toronto liked. And some executives around the league thought that if Thybulle was in that trade, then Kyle Lowry might have ended up a Sixer, and then you don't have George Hill there necessarily either. But obviously hindsight's 20/20. That said, you bring up a good point. But when it comes to Kawhi,
that was a bad example. I didn't need to. But,
no, that's all right. But I was gonna say, like, once he won the title for them, you know, at that point they were just happy to let him make the decision. I mean, obviously they would have loved for him to stay, but it was what it was. With Kyle Lowry, you know, I don't know. You know, you could also make the case that, you know, this summer, is Miami going to open up the wallet and pay him what he wants at 35, or do the Raptors do a short deal with him, maybe a 1-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal, and then flip him, you know, it just because things didn't materialize now, because he was at the end of his contract. So that's just the way I looked at it. When they didn't move him, did I expect him to get moved before the deadline? Yeah, it was trending that way. Certainly,
from people you talked to,
you know, the peace sign kind of thing he did, and the FaceTime with Drake. It would have made for quite a nice little Hollywood ending there. But look, Kyle Lowry, you know, is considered by some to be, you know, the top Raptor of all time, and I think that's really interesting because, you know, obviously Kawhi was only there for a short time, but don't forget Vince Carter, DeMar DeRozan did incredible things there. So, you know, obviously Damon Stoudemire was there for a while. So to me, I think it's as much about legacy too. And I'm sure him and his agent, Mark Bartelstein, are going to carefully handle this in the summer. And if you know one thing about Bartlestein, he's going to get his guys paid. So they'll figure out something for Kyle Lowry. I mean, look what happened for Gordon Hayward last year.
Yeah, if the fact that Lowry wanted to get traded, I think a lot of that had to do with him trying to secure his next contract. He couldn't actually sign an extension like immediately, like during the season. But the idea is that whoever he gets traded to, they'll sign him during re-sign him during the summer. And you know, he wasn't an all-star this year, but he still his performance isn't that far. It's basically this. I don't think it's like worse at all or anything. I'm pretty sure he's still putting up the same numbers and everything from the last few years. But he's 35. So you know, on his end, yeah, he was really hoping to get that last big contract. I believe it was reported he wants 2 years, 50 mil. So is he at risk of not getting that now that he didn't get traded to the team of his choice? I don't know. I want to say probably not. I still think he should get a contract, whether it's from Toronto for a year or two. If things don't work out in Miami with Oladipo, they could try to make a run at Lowry. Dallas looks like a team. They have cap space. That would make sense maybe to bring in Lowry. I'm not too worried about I think he'll get what he needs, what he wants.
I mean, the biggest thing with Kyle, he's played on and off the ball in Toronto. So, you know, you could plug him in different backcourt positions with any team. You know, I think also it's still early. There's teams that are going to make trades to clear cap space before the draft and heading into free agency to give themselves the best chance to get. There are some big names out there. Kyle is one of them. There's plenty of guards. You know, Drew Holiday is going to be out there. Spencer Dinwiddie, who's expected to decline his $12.3 million player option and become an unrestricted free agent. With Kyle, you know, I don't think the 2 for $50 is a bad ballpark range for him at all. I think that's attainable.
Yeah.
For him, for sure. But, you know, as we get ready to kind of wind down this locker room chat, you know, certainly for those listening, if you have a question or anything, we're happy to take some. And if not, you know, in the next few minutes, we'll give our final thoughts on what to look for the second half of the season post trade deadline.
Yeah, I believe I'm still kind of new to locker room. If you guys are new to it too, I'm sure you could request to speak. If anyone has any questions, anything we missed that you want some thoughts on, go ahead. In the meantime, Michael, is there anything we possibly may have? When we got through buyout candidate. I think we got through most of the trades. Anything else we should touch on?
As I'm scrolling through some of the notes, I think more or less that's the crux for now. But you know, looking ahead, I think we touched on a lot of the guys that could be game changers. I guess the only other buyout guy that might be interesting, you know, you could hear maybe Gorgui Dieng, Austin Rivers, Hassan Whiteside, maybe, depending if Sacramento's willing to do it or not. But you know, I think right now it's an interesting arms race heading into the second half of the season. The Lakers got to get healthy with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So, you know, we could see if they can try to repeat. You know, I've certainly hyped up the Brooklyn Nets in the West, in the East rather. That's the team I think that's ultimately coming out of the East. And I think Philadelphia and the Bucks are going to give them a good run for their money.
Yeah. I don't think the landscape overall has changed too much. If Lowry was traded to Toronto or the Lakers, then I think that would have really shifted stuff. But I mean, I guess biggest thing, I think Denver really improved. I think Portland improved a good bunch. Now I wouldn't say any of them are like, you know, way, way better than they were yesterday. But I would still say Brooklyn, Philly, they look like the top teams in the East. And in the West, Utah and Phoenix didn't make any moves. The Clippers, if playoff Rondo, if this wasn't a fluke, he comes back. And the one thing we, you know, I guess the other thing the Clippers are paying for is his leadership. We didn't mention that. But if Rondo can also bring back that performance, let's see, maybe the Clippers don't have any more meltdowns. They're the worst. I think they're one of the worst clutch teams right now, which is why I'm not too high on them. And, you know, for all those reasons, I guess I like the Lakers and Jazz the most, assuming the once the Lakers get healthy. And but then out of the East, yeah, I think for the most part, the everything's the same mostly.
Well, time will tell for sure. But I want to thank those for listening in on the Locker Room app and joining Yossi and I. Make sure you're following Yossi.
Really quickly, we got one question. If Lou Williams considered a buyout candidate, my guess is not. No, I was thinking if Lou was traded to like a worse team, like a bad team, maybe like if he was traded to OKC for George Hill, maybe because right. You know. But in Atlanta, they need the depth, and I think he could fit in pretty well with them. And you know, usually when a player gets traded to a bad team. Like you heard with Avery Bradley, got traded to Houston, almost immediately was reported, okay, he's headed towards a buyout. And we haven't gotten any reports like that with Lou. So I would say it looks like he's there to stay.
I would agree. He's not passing up that reunion being back with the Hawks and in Atlanta and those wings. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, on that note, I didn't see any other questions in the queue. Or speaker requests. So with that in mind, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Make sure you're following Yossi and I on the Locker Room app so you can get notified for our upcoming rooms. And also, if you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast with guest appearances from players, coaches, and execs, media members, you can like and subscribe to that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike A. Scotto. Yossi is at Yossi Goslin as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, alongside my colleague, Yossi Goslin, wishing you and yours all the best.